The scripture reading this morning came from Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'll be reading verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for these opportunities we have to worship God, spirit and truth, to be with one another. And what a beautiful fall day it is. I know those leaves, they change very fast, and it's almost like you blink, you miss one of God's great beauty as we certainly transition in this fall season. But what a beautiful time. It's actually, I know I probably shouldn't play favorites, but it's my favorite season. When I think of, I mean, all the seasons have something special, but I do love fall very, very much. Such a special time. So thankful for so many that help us serve, and so mindful of so many of our congregation that need prayer. And certainly keep on praying, and as we keep the faith, and as we live on this world and go through many hardships and adversities. You know, have you ever been locked out? I have been. Since I've got more kids, it seems like I'm getting locked out more and more. Over the summer, we locked ourselves out of the van. So that was a fun experience. Like I said, I wasn't having any problems before I had kids. I went out to the garage, and I think Uriah flipped the lock and locked me out of the house for a few minutes. He didn't know how to unlock it. Luckily, I just went around to the other door. But there for a second, you know, when you're locked out of anything, it is not a good experience. It's a negative experience. You certainly have all those emotions. But you know what? There are many doors in the Bible. Many doors that are discussed. And I think that there are certain facts about doors that we understand. They can be opened and they can be closed. They can be locked. They can be unlocked. And certainly as we look at doors in the Bible, we realize that some doors we actually have control over. Some doors God has control over. And what I'd like to look at is some doors in the Bible and how God treated these doors. When did He have them open? When did He close them? When were they locked? When were they unlocked? It's certainly interesting to observe these things and see a pattern. And one of the patterns I see in relation to God's doors is that they are eventually shut. Is that God will leave doors, opportunities, a grace period open for man, and man, humans, have to take advantage of those doors as we have that opportunity. But the three doors that we're going to look at today, I find an even more interesting pattern. The interesting pattern is there is preparation before we cross one of God's doors. And we're going to look at three doors today. The door of the ark, the door on a Passover house in Egypt, and the door at the wedding feast in Matthew chapter 25. And what I find interesting about these doors is that there was preparation in order to go through any of these doors. We think of Noah, we think of Passover, we certainly think of the wedding feast. So we want to look at these doors and see patterns that we see. The first door I'd like to look at is the door of the ark. Importantly, we know the story there in Genesis chapter 6 and around in the context is we have Noah. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, it tells us that Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. And a lot of people, when we talk about individuals being saved and going through doors of God, I think that something that is missed is that we are saved by grace through faith. And grace, in many ways, although I might not be perfect in describing it, but grace is an opportunity. And Noah was afforded an opportunity by God. An opportunity to be saved from the evil world which he was living in, he had an opportunity to be saved. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, we see that. But that's not the end of the story, is it? He finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. A lot of people say, well, grace is the only thing that you need to be concerned about and worried about. But we see that the story continues on, is that Noah is given instructions. And we see that Noah goes about following those instructions through faith. He hears what God says, he believes it, and he takes appropriate action to save his family, to prepare this ark, And he certainly goes through those steps. But as he follows those instructions, some of those instructions included a door. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, "You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set a door of the ark on its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks." You see that a door is constructed. Noah has been afforded an opportunity to be saved, and we see that he gets instructions from God. And these instructions are very specific. We have the cubit that things need to be, and we see that Noah goes to work on this, and he is going to fulfill God's request as he follows these instructions. And Noah does include a window, and he does include a door. We see the grace of God in the story of Noah, but we also see the faith that is there. And in fact, the New Testament talks about Noah's faith in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have what I like to call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. We have all these individuals that we go through, and we see their faith. And many times, faith is misconstrued as just belief, but when you read through Hebrews chapter 11, what you're going to see is that a belief that is not connected to an action, perhaps that's not even faith at all. And we have to ask ourselves, as we go throughout our Christian lives, do we believe enough to act? Do we have faith? God tells us all kinds of things. He told Noah about a flood that was coming, and Noah believed God, and he acted appropriately. He tried to prepare the ark. He did those things that God had instructed him to do. And if we are going to demonstrate faith, we have to follow that same pattern. God has given us instructions. God has given us a path, and we have to say, "I believe enough to do those things which God has asked me to do," just as Noah did. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it talks about Noah's faith. It says, "By faith, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is according to faith." Noah was afforded an opportunity. He was divinely warned, very similar to us today. We are divinely warned about many things. Many things in relation to salvation, many things on the best way to live our lives here upon earth. We have been divinely warned. Do we act as Noah acted? Do we have the faith that Noah had, that we are going to prepare, that we are going to take appropriate action? Do you believe enough to act this morning? Believe enough to act on those things which God has said. Certainly, we see the grace in the story of Noah, and we see the faith in the story of Noah. We see an opportunity, we see instructions, and we see that he has an obedient faith where Noah is doing those things which are good and right. And we think about, how long did this faith go on? Well, when we look at how long it took to build the ark, there are different estimations on how long this took, but I think it's very safe to say it took one of our lifetimes. Noah was faithful. Noah had endurance. How long did it take him to build the ark? Probably one of our lifetimes. We're talking about 80 to, I mean, people will put it at different, areas when you look at the ages of his children and things of that nature. But we're looking at one of our whole lifetimes. Noah followed the instructions of God. He was obedient. He was faithful. He did those things which needed to be done. Do we have the faith that Noah had? Will we take appropriate action? Will we prepare what God tells us we need to prepare to save our house, to save ourselves? A lifetime of preparation, that's what we see from Noah. Noah is divinely warned. He prepares the ark. But who shuts the door? If you go to Genesis chapter 7, verses 15 through 16, I find this to be interesting, the way that the Bible has it phrased. In Genesis chapter 7, verses 15 through 16, it says, "And they went into the ark, to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." The Lord shut him in. You know, when you look at that terminology, it certainly looks like God shut the door. God shut the door. God opened up this opportunity to Noah, an opportunity to be saved. And we see that he took preparation. How much preparation? Well, Noah built the ark with the instructions of God. Without the instructions of God, without the warning of God, Noah would not have prepared such a thing. But because God told him, Noah, acting through faith, does what God has said, and he has constructed this ark, and there's a door. But who has control over that door? It looks like God has control over that door. The door of opportunity, and you have that door open to you today, the door of opportunity is open to you to be saved. The question is where you walk through that door. But it's a door of preparation. It's a door that takes faith to walk through. It took faith to walk through that door. You know, as we look in the New Testament, it certainly gives us this idea that Noah was trying to preach, that Noah was trying to teach. And I think that this opportunity was extended to others, but did they have faith to walk through the door of the ark? In fact, they made fun of Noah. It looks like he was ridiculed throughout his life. Look at Noah building an ark. Look at him following God's instructions. Look at what he's doing. What a fool Noah is. And yet, there's a day that comes where Noah and his family are saved because they have faith. Noah had faith, prepared that ark through God's divine warning, and he walked through that door. But God shut the door of opportunity. Who had hope in such a situation? Those that were inside the ark. Those that were outside the ark did not have hope, and they were in a desperate situation. Perhaps there were some, as the clouds were open and the earth was open, the foundations were open, and we have all this water that's coming into this situation. Perhaps there's some that came and they beat on the edge, the outside of the ark, begging to get in. Perhaps they were screaming and things, and some of this happened. Now, it happened very quickly, but you think about it, God shut the door. The door of opportunity will only be open so long, and once that door is shut, it's almost the equivalent of being locked out. Would you want to find yourself in such a situation? Certainly, if we try to put ourselves in that situation, I think we'd say we want to be on the ark. We'd want to walk through that door, and we would want to be on the ark, and we would want to be saved. In Matthew chapter 24, it talks about the idea of the times before the ark was shut. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. It's talking about different things in the context, but certainly here it brings up Noah. It says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but the Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be." The door of the ark, I believe God had control over. Really, when you think about the ark, it was a great opportunity. It was a saving vessel, one that people could enter, but could only enter for a period of time. And I believe here, as we are on this plane of life, we fall into the same situation. Would you get on to the ark? Would you take the preparation, being divinely warned by God, to take the appropriate preparation so that you would be in a safe place? And I believe that there could be a comparison drawn, that the ark has a very nice comparison to the church. Is that the church underneath the New Testament is God's saving vessel. And God certainly is looking for us to operate through faith. God has divinely warned us that there is going to be an incoming. We realize that there is going to be a heaven and there is going to be a hell, and there is an incoming, and there is a saving vessel which God has provided through the blood of His Son, the church. And the question is will you walk through that door by faith? Will you believe what God has said? Many people did not believe what God had to say in the times of Noah. Noah believed, and he found himself in the ark. And we need to find ourselves in the New Testament church. Let's look at another door. But think about that. Noah had to prepare to go through the door of the ark. Let's look at the Passover door that we find in Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, we have the Israelites, and they're in Egypt. The Israelites are in Egypt, and we're going to find another door, the door of their home. And the Israelites are in Egypt, and Moses comes because of the burning bush. He comes with Aaron, and he has come to free the Israelites that are slaves out of Egypt. And he comes, and certainly he doesn't receive necessarily the warmest reception. And Pharaoh says, "I'm not going to let the people go. I'm not going to let all my slaves go." And we have the period of the plague. And we have the locusts and the frogs and all those. But the last plague is the death of the firstborn. The death of the firstborn, which you can read about in Exodus chapter 12. And instructions are given. Once again, we see grace of God. If God is going to give an opportunity for people to be saved, saved from what? The death of the firstborn. Is that the last plague was going to be the death of the firstborn. Is the firstborn in every house, and the firstborn of the animals as well, are going to die in terms of this situation in Exodus chapter 12, the last of the plague.
And God is going to divinely warn them, and He's going to give them instructions on how they can be saved. How they can be saved. And we see the instruction in Exodus chapter 12, is they can take a lamb, a sheep, or a goat without blemish in the first year. We see this in Exodus chapter 12. They're going to take this sheep, this goat, and they're going to keep it for 14 days. And then they're going to kill it, and they're going to take that blood, and they're going to apply it to the doorpost. And if that blood is applied on the house, those that are in the house will not have to suffer the plague or the death of the firstborn. They will be saved. Once again, we're seeing a very similar pattern that we saw to Noah. So with Noah, we saw grace. Noah was divinely warned. And what did Noah do? He believed God enough to act appropriately and do those things which God had asked him to do. When we see the Passover door, we see a very similar situation. If God has warned his people, Passover is coming, the death of the firstborn is coming, and here is how you can be prepared. This is how you can be protected and how you can be saved. Take the lamb without spot, without blemish. You're going to kill that lamb, and you're going to apply that blood to the doors of the house. And that blood will be a sign on the door, and when the passing over happens, those people in that house will be protected. Instructions are given. Blood is the token that when that is seen, that once the blood is seen, they will be protected. But look at Exodus chapter 12, verses 22 and 23. 22 and 23 in Exodus chapter 12. It says, you shall take a bunch of hyssop, and you shall dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into the house and to strike you. The blood is the sign. The blood is the protection. Did this door require preparation? Did this door require faith? Just as the ark had a door that required faith, we also see that the Passover door required faith. You had to believe God what He said. You had to believe, and you had to take that lamb into your house. You had to slay that lamb, and you had to apply the blood to the door. And if you did such things, that would be a place of protection. But when you look at verse 22, it gives us this idea, and it says, none of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning. What if you left that house? What if you left the ark? I don't have to draw your conclusions for you. I think that we can come to the same conclusion with logic and reasoning. When God tells us something, and when we see the instructions given, and if those instructions are violated, what would we expect? If somebody was not in the ark, what happened? If somebody's not in the Passover house, what happened? The blood had to be applied. We have looked at two doors, and both these doors, we see the grace of God. God has given Noah an opportunity to be saved. But we see his faith by doing those things which God has done. He has prepared himself. He has prepared the door, and he goes through that door, and he is saved. We see in Passover that we see the Israelites are given instructions to protect themselves, to be saved. And we see them apply the blood to the door, and they go in, and they basically have a safe house. Once again, I believe that this can apply to the church. Now, in the New Testament, what does the New Testament certainly say about Jesus Christ? You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, Christ is our Passover lamb. Christ was slain, and the blood is applied. And you think of Acts chapter 20, verse 28, what does it call? It says he purchased the church with his own blood. See, the church is our safe house. I'm not talking about the physical building. It's not the physical building. But the spiritual group. God has made this spiritual group that when we are baptized, we are added to this spiritual group. We're added to the church. And the church is the safe house, really, of the New Testament. Is that those that are in the church, that have walked under the door of blood, that have entered that home, they are saved. And there are parallels that can certainly be drawn. There is grace. God gave them instructions, but somebody could say, these are crazy instructions. And actually, if you look at them, these would have made very little sense in many ways, I think, to the Israelites. I think looking back, we can make so many connections. Christ is our Passover lamb, and a lot of this. And really, you think about it, the institution of all these sacrifices hasn't happened yet. We haven't got to Mount Sinai. I'm not saying there aren't sacrifices, but that really intense connection. So there are so many things here that we see so much better looking back. But we look at it, and we can see they were divinely warned. They had faith. They followed the directions of God, and we see that they go into a place of protection. Christ is our Passover lamb. The question is will you apply the blood? Will you be added to the church? Will you be part and will you be in God's faith house? Not a physical house, but a spiritual thing. But Noah had to prepare to go through the door of the ark. The children of Israel had to prepare to go through the door in relation to their home, in relation to the Passover, and they had to apply the blood. You know, you look at both these things, and I think that people misunderstand this when it comes to faith, is that God many times will ask us things that when it comes to our lives, don't make a whole bunch of sense on the worldly plane of life. Many people suggest that it hadn't rained in Noah's time. It hadn't rained up to that point. It doesn't matter because there had never been a flood to this magnitude. He was divinely warned. Did Noah understand everything about the flood? Did he understand all of the how this was going to happen? No, but he trusted God and he did what God said. The same thing with Passover. What does this blood have to do with the firstborn in my house not dying? What does it have to do? God said it. There's a connection. He says, we have to understand that we are leaning on God. We are looking to God in our lives. And will we walk that way as these individuals walk throughout their lives? We look at the door of the ark. We look at the door of Passover, the Passover door, putting the blood of the lamb on the doors in Egypt. And I want to look at Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the wise and foolish virgin. And I'll just read a little bit in Matthew chapter 25. It says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But when the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should be not enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came in also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Walk therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We looked at the door of the ark. We see grace, we see faith, we see preparation. We look at the door of Passover. We see grace, we see faith, we see preparation. We look at the door of the wedding feast. Certainly, grace, we know the wedding is going on. We know that the wedding is going to be happening. We know that Jesus is going to return, as I think the connection is in Matthew chapter 25. We know that Jesus is going to return. We have been divinely warned once again. The question is will we have the faith to prepare appropriately? Now we see in the occasion in Matthew chapter 25, we have individuals that are prepared, we have individuals that are unprepared. We see that the foolish ones, they fall asleep, they don't have what is needed for their lamp, and we see that they have to go and try to get prepared, but then the bridegroom comes and they are shut out. And once again, I go back to those experiences when I've been locked out. It's not a pleasant experience. But when we realize that this is on an internal level, a spiritual level, when we realize we're dealing with a situation like the ark, where it's life and death, when we're dealing with Passover, life and death, when we're dealing with this wedding feast, life and death, that's really the implication, and we're talking about spiritually. Spiritually, that goes on for an eternity. The question is are we prepared? You know, these virgins are supposed to escort the groom to the bride, to the wedding. And we see that they are not there in time. They are not prepared. They had the opportunity. They certainly had the instructions, but they were not faithful in their preparation. God shut the door. We've looked at 3 doors. And I think what we see is, although it may be hard, but I think sometimes when we deal with reality, it helps us to take appropriate action. when you realize that you're not going to live forever, when you realize you're going to die, a lot of times we take appropriate action in relation to studying spiritual things. But see, our society tries to put it so far away from us. People don't like to talk about death. In fact, when people, which I'm not saying this is wrong, but we talk about passing away, don't we? But you don't even want to use the word death. We found all these other words, you know, he or he is no longer with us. You know, we try to find a way to try to lighten the word. But to some degree, there's some realities in life we need to accept. We are not going to live forever. We are not going to live forever. And keeping that in mind should lead to our preparation. Particularly when we start to look at these doors, because God will leave these doors open for a period of time. The door of the ark, I believe, is open for a period of time. I believe the doors to the houses were accessible to the people, were they not? The doors of Passover were accessible to the people. We see that the wedding, I believe, was accessible. There was an opportunity, but those opportunities do not last forever. Eventually, you get to a point where it is too late. You know, I think of those, we think of those that are in the ark. We think of those that were in the Passover house. We think of those that made it into the wedding feast. But do you think about the opposite side? Because I think if we accept that reality, it drives us to be better evangelists, it drives us to be better servants of the Lord, and it drives us to be better prepared in our lives. Have you thought about the people outside the ark? Have you thought about the people outside the Passover house? Have you thought about the people outside the wedding where the door is shut and they cannot get in? Don't be outside the ark. Don't be outside the Passover house. Don't be outside the wedding. It's important that you are prepared. It's important that you're ready. You know, God has opened the door. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, it says, "Now, when they had come and gathered the church together, they recorded all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." In Acts chapter 14, the church is getting back together. When we look in context, there's some things that have happened. We have Acts chapter 10, where Cornelius is a Gentile, and he ends up, we see all the situation that happens there, but he's going to become a New Testament Christian. The door has been opened to the Gentiles, which I'm very thankful for. The door has been opened. How long will the door be open to us? The door has been open to the Gentiles, the door has been open to the Jews, the door has been open to all nations. The question is with the opportunity which God has afforded, will we walk through the door with faith? When we're talking about us in the New Testament, we're talking about the New Testament church. We're talking about the church. That's God's saving vessel. It's almost like the church is the ark, if you will. The church, in many respects, when you look at it, is that Passover house. There's a lot of similarities to think about. And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it talks about God's church, Jesus' church, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And there it reads, "And also I say to you that you are Peter, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom." I believe the church and the kingdom are the same thing. He says, "Peter, I'm going to give you keys to the kingdom. I'm going to give you keys to the church." Well, he helps you to get into something. What do we see in Acts chapter 2? In Acts chapter 2, he preaches that message, that gospel message, and we see at the end of Acts chapter 2 that those individuals are being baptized. In Acts chapter 2, verses 47 and following there, we see that these individuals that are being baptized, they're being added to the church. I believe baptism is the door into the church, if you will. Is that when we're baptized, we're added to the church. And that is that same place. So many things happen through baptism. We die to our old self, we're raised in newness of life, our sins are washed away. There's so many things that happen when we look at baptism from a scriptural perspective, but in many ways, it's the door of the church. How long will the door of baptism be open? How long will it be open for you? You know, grace has appeared, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. God has opened the door. The question is who will go through? God desires all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent." When you think about that, God has opened up the door to the church, his saving vessel. How long will that door be open? How long will the door of the ark be open? How long will the Passover house door you will be able to get in? How long will you have the opportunity? Because eventually, we'll run into that wedding feast idea, and the door will be shut. Have you ever thought that God's patience is salvation? That's what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It talks about God is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And a few verses later in verse 15, it says, consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. God is patient. But there will be a time where He will shut the door. He will shut the door to His church, His saving vessel. Take advantage while the door is open. Would you take advantage of the ark? Would you take advantage of the Passover house? Would you take advantage of the invitation to the wedding feast? Would you take advantage of those? It's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. You know, we talked about doors that God has control over. There is a door that you have control over. We find it in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. I think that's talking about the door of your heart. See, God has control about a lot of doors. He has control over the door of the church, and we cannot trick that door. We can't try to go around that door. We have to do what God says, but there is a door you have control over. It's the door to your heart. But once you open up that door to God, you will do what He says. A lot of people say, my door is open to Jesus, but they won't do what He says. Is your door really open then? Is your door really open if you won't do that which God has asked you to do? Would you really build the ark if Noah did? Is your door that open? Would you really put the blood on the door if you were in Egypt? Would you do those things? We're saved by grace through faith. Could Noah pound his chest and say, I saved myself. Look at this ark I built. Could he really say that? God divinely warned him, and he just did what he was supposed to do. When we look at the Passover, could those people bang their chest and say, look, our firstborn has not died. Look at what we've done, how great this is. No, they were divinely warned by God. When it comes to us in the New Testament, and it comes to being baptized for the remission of our sins and becoming members of the New Testament church, being added to the church, we're just walking by faith. Walking by faith. You know, when I was a sophomore in high school and I became a New Testament Christian, I really struggled with the idea of when do I believe enough to become a New Testament Christian? I really struggled with that. Because I kind of felt like Thomas in many ways. I'm like, I've got some doubt. And I think we cross that line when we believe enough to ask. We're certainly not perfect, we're human. Do you believe enough to ask? Would you build the ark? Would you put the blood on your door? Would you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Would you be baptized for the remission of your sins and be added to the church? Get into Christ? Get into the body of Christ? Or would you try to go in another way? In John chapter 10, it talks about that, and I'll conclude another way. Is I would implore anyone listening to listen to the words of the Bible, because God is in control of the door to the church. And I believe that door is baptism. And when we go through baptism, we're really going through Jesus Christ, His Son. But in John chapter 10, if you turn over there to John chapter 10, it has this idea of a shepherd. And as you look at John chapter 10, it's going to talk about these sheep. And these sheep, there's going to be some that hear His voice, and then there's going to be some people that are not listening to His voice. In John chapter 10, verses 7 and following. It says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. When Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come in except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives life for his sheep. But the hireling to he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they know my and they are known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I the Father, and I lay down I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and also I bring them, which they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. You know, you got this idea that the sheep listen to the Savior's voice. Would you listen to the Savior's voice? When Jesus departed this world, we have the Great Commission. Certainly, we see that in different places, but we think of Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16. Jesus says, "He who believes and baptized shall be saved." Jesus is the door. He's the way. Will you enter by Jesus, or will you try to go in some other way? Don't go in some other way. Certainly, as we apply this concept this morning, many people would struggle with this. But will any ark do? I think we know the answer. Will any ark do? Will any Passover house do? Well, just the Passover house that has the blood. Will any wedding feast do? And yet we have people that say, when it comes to the church, it doesn't make sense. We need to be on God's saving vessel. We need to be in the Lord's church. And we see that the pattern to be added to the church is through baptism. Certainly, behold, now is an acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What a blessed opportunity you have today to follow God's word. Perhaps if you need to become a New Testament Christian and need the prayers of the church, we'd love to help you in any way that we can this morning. We're saved by grace through faith. We walk through God's door this morning into the church. Please come as we stand and sing.